Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Second half, Alonzo's going to hang with us. We'll play our annual Mac and Cheese Lady, the best clip of the year for me. And we'll do the news as well. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Driving north in Delaware, and the sign warning you not to speed says, "Come on, Eileen. Your speed is obscene." Get it on, man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Lonzo Bowden is hanging with us, and we got our mac and cheese vid, which I'm hoping Alonzo's seen. Or no, I'm hoping he hasn't seen it,
same.
Because he should be delighted. We play this every single year, and I completely and wholeheartedly agree with this woman, because Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you need your turkey. You need a roast or pork roast or beef roast or something, or ham or something like that. You can then get into your mashed potatoes. You got your candied yams. You got your green beans. And, you know, if you want to start fucking around the margins, once you've done about seven items that are just, yeah, stuffing.
The classics.
Like when you look at painting, oh, God, who's the painter who painted the Americana experience or whatever?
Oh, American Gothic?
I'll think of it.
Not the farmers with the pitchfork?
It's the guy. He does all the settings. Oh, it's sad, God, that I forgot his
Jasper
name.
Jasper Johns?
No. Landscapes, the houses, the...
No, everyone's going to hate themselves.
Right.
Now, I don't know why I always have to be the smartest dumb person in the room. You guys should be coming.
Hopper?
No.
Norman Rockwell?
Rockwell.
There you go.
Fuck, what the fuck is wrong with everyone?
You should have said, like, little boy standing on a toadstool trying to kiss the girl.
No. Thanksgiving. Norman Rockwell.
Right.
Yeah. What was on the table when he painted that picture.
That's what we have.
Is what cranberries and what have you. And if you're going to start getting into stuffing, you make stuffing. You do not add a bunch of pine nuts and cranberry skin and shit. You just fucking make your stuffing. If you want to go once you've laid down the turkey and the roast and everything else, you want to go goose? Like Drew's wife will go with a goose? By all means.
Yeah, but that's not the main.
We need the basics.
Yeah.
This is a woman who did not get the mac and cheese that she wanted. She got the mac and cheese that they, you know, fancied up.
Well, I remember the ingredient. Do you want me to tell you? It's going to be a surprise.
Oh, it'll be a surprise.
Oh,
let's
it's
do it.
Horrible.
Well, okay, yeah, okay, we can listen to it then.
Okay.
Since you fucked up the macaroni and cheese, you're cleaning up all this shit by yourself. Junior, Dejana, nor me are going to help you clean up. We told you don't put that shit in the macaroni cheese, but you insist on putting it. So since you want to do things your damn way, we're going to do shit our way. We getting ready to go upstairs and go to sleep while you clean up all this shit for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. But guess what? This shit ain't fair that we couldn't even get a decent thing of macaroni and cheese. We got to wait and go back to Goose for Auntie Karen to make us some damn macaroni and damn cheese. Because you decided to do some bullshit you done seen off the damn internet. Don't experiment on damn Thanksgiving. Don't experiment on Thanksgiving.
Mom,
you experiment by your damn self.
I've cooked with cream cheese before.
Hell, don't try it with us. We don't want that shit. Auntie Karen gave you the damn recipe, but you chose to do shit on your own.
So that's Auntie Carmel.
Love her.
And at Miami Baby tweeted, y'all please listen to my auntie snap. She was so mad because my cousin tried to make some macaroni yesterday with cream cheese and messed up the whole meal from Miami to Tally for some foolishness.
Don't experiment.
Don't experiment. Like,
not on Thanksgiving.
No.
She's right. You experiment.
That's on your own time.
With somebody
or
else.
Or you got the gay couple coming over from the office or something. That's that. It's
but
not Thanksgiving.
But that's when you make a little something for them.
Sure.
Like if you're nice enough to make something different. Yeah, you don't hit the main table
Hey,
I've never made this before.
Macaroni and
you know
cream
what that'd
cheese.
Be like? That would be like me cooking. I don't cook at all. I don't know the first thing about cooking. That'd be like me bringing something to your house on Thanksgiving and say, hey, I whipped this up.
Now's not the time.
Here's what you have to do with mac and cheese and in many of these items. Whatever the version is of the Golden Corral, you do a better ingredients version of that.
Right.
But it has to be the same. It's just a higher quality version of that. You do not do your own thing.
No, you're right. And to your point, I can't believe I didn't even think of this. We did our Thanksgiving. We did our big Friendsgiving on Saturday. And I had the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the green beans and whatever. And then once all that was covered, guess what I made, which was devoured the first thing, a traditional classic lasagna. And I put that on the buffet and people were like, is this lasagna? I'm like, yes, it is.
That is a good audible.
That's a good
it was
one.
Really
That's
fun.
A good one.
Yeah.
I think you need a grandmother involved.
Like, it helps.
You got to run it by a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't approve, then it ain't coming in on Thanksgiving.
Smart.
It's like, I've been around. I've handled this before. You know what I mean? Like, she knows instinctively what those basics are. And then when you come in, say,
get
when
cute.
You know, I was online and I saw, and she's like, really?
There's nothing.
First
also,
of all, what's Pinterest?
There's nothing less broken than mac and cheese.
Yeah.
There's no reason to ever modify or even
food.
Come near that. It is perfect.
So, Adam, you're not going to eat my impossible turkey?
No. It'll be impossible for me to devour that turkey.
Well, did you hear about that?
Mm-mm.
I tweeted that to Vinny yesterday.
Uh-oh.
A lot of mold and bacteria found at the Impossible Meat Factory.
I did hear about that story.
Yep.
All right. A follow-up to the leaf blower story from 1998, which is we're talking about leaf blowers and how they've been outlawed in SoCal, Los Angeles, for... Well, I guess coming on to 25 years now.
Wouldn't know it.
But there was a problem.
This was from February 7th, 1998. The Los Angeles City Council banned Tuesday the use of gas-powered leaf blowers despite a hunger strike by gardeners who fear the ban will hurt their livelihood. The council voted 9-6 to uphold the ban. It originally approved 13 months ago. The ban was delayed while council and police worked out how it would be enforced. The measure now must be approved by Mayor Richard Reardon. Violating the ban can lead to a $100 fine plus $170 in court costs. The ban allows neighbors to call police if they hear noisy blowers, make a citizen's arrest, and have homeowners warned not to hire gardeners who use gas-powered leaf blowers. 11 gardeners said they will continue a four-day hunger strike to protest the ban, which they said unfairly targets mostly Mexican immigrants. They also claim the ban will cause them to lose money if they have to use slower and less powerful methods to do their work. Supporters of the ban, led by former Mission Impossible television star Peter Graves, said
I knew he was behind this.
Said the blowers are noisy and contribute to pollution.
Graves and doing the Lord's work. Yeah, the ban exists. It's existed for 25 years. It's not enforced.
And it lets landscapers off the hook. Like, don't blame me. It's illegal.
So that was January 7th, 1998. Fast forward almost an entire year. Your year in 1998 in review shows the brooms of gardeners, symbolic of their protest of the ban on leaf blowers. The ban has turned out to be purely symbolic.
Oh.
All of the gardeners servicing homes on my street have resumed using leaf blowers with arrogance and impunity.
And panache. I've seen those guys. They think their shit doesn't stink because they got a Briggs and Stratton strapped to their ass and they're making $14 an hour. Okay, Your Highness.
Reporting violators requires one to incriminate one's neighbors, which guarantees it won't happen. The politicians took credit because there is no because there is no enforcement, nothing has changed.
Yeah, so here's what we do as LA. We go, we have rules. We got a ton of rules. I don't like all the rules, but we got a ton of them. So we have a rule, and the rule is no leaf blowers. But that is not enforced. Now, it's no leaf blowers because it's noisy and it pollutes and it's unhealthy. But fine, we don't do that. We also have a rule, which is no drinking beer on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So one rule we enforce and the other one we don't. And my whole point, and we have 1,000 examples of those. My whole point is either don't have the rules or enforce all the rules. Don't cherry pick your fucking rules. That's what makes Los Angeles a unique shithole because they have tons and tons of rules. There's, you must have a front license plate mm-hmm. on your car. That rule's enforced vigorously, mm-hmm. but it's not dangerous to not have a front license plate on your car, but that rule's enforced vigorously, but leaf blower not, but whatever it is you're doing on the beach is, starting a campfire on the beach. Totally illegal, and they would probably say that it contributes to the air pollution or whatever it is. Same arguments you could make for the leaf blower. One is vigorously imposed and enforced, and the other one is not. So it's illegal. It's been 25 years. We won't enforce it.
And you know what else is possibly illegal but celebrated on the beach? Living.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one lately in Venice.
Well, you know, the leaf blower thing, that law was written before we had the Nextdoor app, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before
it's
we
all
had
the
Citizen app. So
that's
now,
right.
Now the Karens are like, hey, I forgot leaf blowers. And like you're doing a disservice here because now that's going to be one more thing that's going to blow up on Nextdoor. Who's using the gas-powered leaf blower? Who's using the electric leaf blower? Where I live, the leaf blower is not a problem because we have the most efficient garbage trucks. These guys are 6 a.m. They are passing by, and it's like,
six.
What time did you get to work? What's wrong with you? Like, can't you ease in about 9?
So
they wake you up to get ready for the leaf blowers.
I was woken up by the 7 a.m. garbage man today with the articulating arm.
Oh, yeah, that thing slams the can. Yeah.
Here's what I'm very serious about this. I have lived in the Hollywood Hills under the Hollywood sign. I've lived in Lake Hollywood. I've lived in the San Fernando Valley. I've lived in Malibu. I've lived in La Cañada. I've lived all over the place. And the garbage is 7 a.m. everywhere. But it can't be 7 a.m. everywhere.
Right.
Somebody has to catch the 2 o'clock garbage truck,
sure.
Right? Because
I don't
Alonzo
know where that
2 catches
o'clock
the 6.
Because I got the 6 a.m. guy. Mm. He stops at my place on the way to you.
Right. So I'm going by Bowden's place, and I swing by Corolla's place. When we have time, we'll go by Sandler's place. I like waking up comedians. It is...
It is the worst. I don't know how it's crack a fuck everywhere all the time, but it is. I've never had a noonish garbage man. And then, which happened last night, is you get the anxiety the night before. It's 9:30 at night. Your couple glasses of wine in, and you're like, oh fuck, that guy's showing up at 6:45 tomorrow. Yeah. I gotta pack this. No.
Oh,
I gotta pack up the garbage and get it down to the street now. I'm not setting my alarm for 6:15.
Gotcha.
This is it. There is no, oh, when I'm heading out at 10 in the morning, I'll just take the hefty bag with me.
Hell you will.
No, you do it then that night.
And here's the other thing. If they don't do it, like when there's, say there's a Monday holiday, right? And so they get backed up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't back them up to like Thursday afternoon. It's like, nope, we're just going to come Friday at 7 in the morning. It's like, wait a minute, couldn't you make up time with some afternoon pickups? They're like, we just got to wait till tomorrow due to crack of dawn. The leaf blower law, there are random laws like that. Like you mentioned the license plate. I find it depends on where you are. Like if you're in the West Side, they're going to hit you for a front license plate.
Oh, for sure.
But like if you're in Van Nuys, they're like, I got 100 other problems beside you. Like you could ask a Van Nuys cop, hey, can you give me a ticket for a front license plate? He's like, really? You think I got time for that? You know, right. So it depends on where in the rules change, like school buses and stuff. You know, you ever see when people go racing past a school bus and like, do you have any idea like why that?
The little sign comes out and
the lights flashing and all, you know.
Yeah. I saw one of those yesterday.
It's like arbitrary where you are, what the rules are.
As you're whizzing past it.
I would pay, if you said to me, if I bought a new home and you said to me, your cell phone will work in every corner of this house and garbage comes Friday noon.
Oh.
I would go, let's tack on another $200,000, and I will pay it in cash.
Wow!
Because that is that pays huge dividends. I was woken this morning. It never stopped. They must have a thing where they hit everyone between 6 and 9, and then go to the landfill.
I guess,
but
so.
At some point, there's got to be a round two. Like they have to come out at 1 in the afternoon, and
but you'd never know it because you're working. You don't know. None of us know.
I'm a comic. I'm home all day. Trust me.
So is there a second round?
No.
He wouldn't know. They do him at.
Yeah.
There's no second round in the same neighborhood.
Right.
You got to go to Van Nuys.
Parts unknown.
Yeah. I don't know how much you got to spend on your house. As far as the cell phone work in every room in your house, look at you with your dreams. Yeah.
Yes, I know. I cannot talk to Mike August unless he stands on an X in his entry hall. The second he wanders into his office, it's a choppy mess, which is, you know what's insane about the cell phone? Just, I talked to Dr. Drew a couple days ago. He's out on vacation.
Mm.
And I called him up and I said, where are you? And he said, Casablanca.
Oh.
And I said, wow, clears a bell. Like, I call Mike August, who's in Orange County, can't fucking hear a word. I can't understand a fucking word that guy's saying.
Yeah.
But Dr. Drew's in Morocco.
Morocco
clears a bell.
It worked on a riverboat in Belize. My phone worked fine. I tweeted from there. You know the head of the, we saying brands on here?
Sure.
Yeah, T-Mobile. He used to be on Twitter, and he'd tweet from, you know, T-Mobile head. And I tweeted him. I said, how come my phone works here but not in Studio City? Like, I would think Studio City, Los Angeles, would have more customers than a riverboat in Belize.
Right.
But apparently not.
I mean, I guess we can marvel that Drew's in Morocco, and I'm speaking to him clear as a bell.
Sure,
but I would choose to focus on Mike and your Belinda and not being able to have a cogent conversation with the man.
Yeah. No, you're right. Where the hell are they? Because I thought they were in Portugal.
They went everywhere, and they went on a cruise. I've talked to him on the cruise ship. He's at sea, and I talked to him as well.
Is it too late?
You don't want it to.
Yeah.
That's true.
It costs a fortune.
That's true. Is it too late for me to be adopted by Drew and Susan? because those kids
live
a wonderful life.
Well, oh, my God.
All three
of
them.
Oh, this cruise ship's supposed to hold about 800 people, but there's only like 200 on it. I'm like, oh. I'll ask him when he gets back, but Morocco and Spain and all the
I
way through.
I found out Morocco's just across the water from Portugal.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because I was in Portugal, and they said, yeah, if you go right over there, it's Morocco. And I was like, so are we going? Like, what are you going to tell me that it's right there, but we're not going? But
I'm such a doofus. When Drew said, I'm in Casablanca, and I was like, Egypt?
Mm.
That's how dumb I am.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, super dumb.
Then again, you didn't know where Lodi was, and you live here.
That's true.
So it's kind
I of knew
fair.
The song, yeah. But I did not know. All right, let's see. We got the news. We got some tweets explaining. Let's see. Why don't we – let me hit a spot. Oh, yeah. Good Ranchers. Yeah, Vinny approved. Good Ranchers. Great gift idea. Take away inflation for someone. Get a subscription to Good Ranchers during their Black Friday special. Beef prices are going to go up 15% or more in 2023. But if you use my code, it'll get you 0% meat inflation all year long. Every subscriber locks in their price for the life of their subscription. Plus, their Black Friday sale offers right now. You can get two free 12-ounce Black Angus New York strip steaks and two free pasture-raised chicken breast with any order with the code ADAM. So if you want that good protein we're just talking about, go with Good Ranchers and lock in that price. Head to goodranchers.com and find the perfect box for you in their curated section of America's best meat and seafood. This is great. This is a great gift as well. It's Good Ranchers, right, Dawson?
Give the gift of zero inflation and America's best meat to yourself or someone else this holiday season. Good Ranchers' award-winning service and quality are why they have over 7,000 five-star reviews. Remember to visit goodranchers.com and subscribe with code ADAM at checkout to grab the Black Friday special, their best offer of the year, two free Black Angus steaks, two free pasture-raised chicken breasts, zero inflation. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Oh, by the way, in our long list of comedians who don't have kids and aren't married, defying the odds of Americans, we've talked about this. I think we're talking about Harlan Williams, and there's the Jeff Rosses.
And Ari Shaffir.
The Ari Shaffirs and the Sarah Silvermans. We'll add Alonzo Bowden.
That's right.
That's right.
To that long list of people that are enjoying their lives and not having to subsidize people that don't appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm married to this. I heard Lewis Black say that a long time ago, and I related the instant he said it. They said, you never got married. He's like, I'm married to this shit. And I was like, yeah, comedy, she doesn't like other women. She doesn't like to share.
She's a fickle mistress.
She catches you in a relationship. She's like, all right, let's see. You're going to be gone the next 6 weekends, and while you're in town, you're going to work 12 hours a day. Let's see how she likes that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, where are you? And it's like, I was with comedy.
That bitch.
I was with comedy. She bought me a house, so I'm going to stay with her.
Oh, my God. You're so right. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Alonzo and do the news right after this.
Hey, Corolla Drinks fans. We've got a special anniversary coming up. November marks the 10-year anniversary of Mangria. To celebrate this milestone and, more importantly, the support that the fans have given us, we're excited to announce each and every bottle of Mangria and 33 wines during the month of November is $10 only. That's right. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and get your bottles for only $10. The holidays are coming. Thank you so much for supporting us over the past decade. It really means the world to us. We love you guys. Happy holidays from all of us at Corolla Drinks.
January 20th and 21st, the Adam Carolla crew is coming to Dallas, Texas.
If you've been on the cruise, look at this as a land yacht.
Working Blue.
And what is the equivalent of a drunken cruise on land? Dallas, Texas.
That's right.
That's right.
With Adam Carolla and John Popper. 2 days, tons of fun.
Live pod, all do stand-up, and we're going to do a screening of the K-Rock doc. John's going to do musical performances.
Hell yeah.
If I'm doing my job, it's yours all that breaks. Because the hope brings you back.
Your tickets for the package include hotel rooms, tickets to a live Adam Carolla show, brunch with John and Adam, a VIP meet and greet, a special screening of the K-Rock documentary.
And no seasickness.
Probably some vomiting, but
yeah,
not a lot.
But it's your fault.
And of course, the big event on Saturday night, Adam Carolla and John Popper at Dallas Echo Music Hall.
Sounds really pretty. Beautiful place.
Working Blue with Adam Carolla and John Popper. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad, stuff they saw on TMZ, Joe Biden, Kamala, meet news with Gino Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
Oh, Alonzo, I got a great cover for you. Oh. It's a saying. I'm now moved by this. You're married to comedy. I got this. Because you used to be able to get away with this. There was a job where you could fuck whoever you wanted, whenever you wanted, and you never had to get married or have kids. That was if your mistress was the C.
Oh, that's sure. Right.
That's all laid out in the song Brandy.
Hmm?
Oh, you got to find Brandy. Brandy, it's laid out by Looking Glass in the song Brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandy.
Come on now.
I remember that song.
Come on, Jeannie. You worked at a classic rock station,
man. Yeah, you played like five songs.
This should have been one of them.
Not up to me.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
100 ships a day.
Get to the hook.
Sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey.
Hey, Chris.
They say brandy.
Yeah, Adam.
Cover this shit now. Come on.
She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say brandy. You're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl.
Yeah, your eyes could steal a sailor from the sea.
This has a Chicago vibe.
Yeah.
Brandy wears a braided chain made of finest silver from the north of Spain. A locket that bears the name of a man that Brandy loved.
She loved it, dude.
He came on a summer's day bringing gifts from far away.
But he made it clear.
He made it clear he couldn't stay. No harbor was his home. The sailor said, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl.
What a good wife you would be.
Such a fine girl.
But my life, my love, and my lady is the sea.
So, his mistress is the C.
Yeah.
Now, what you can do, Alonzo, is when the ladies get a little too clingy, you explain to them your mistress is the C, capital C, for comedy, bitch, and you move on.
It's good.
Good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna drop the bitch part.
Oh, yeah. Put your own flavor on it.
Make it your own.
Ho or whore, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, because they like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But use your mistress as the C.
Yo, bitch, you know my agent. How about that? That'll
go
over well.
Mistress is the C.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a big birthday celebrated over the weekend. President Joe Biden turned 80, making him the first octogenarian to serve as president, and is once again faced with questions about whether or not he'll run again. Earlier this month, Biden told reporters, "I'm a great respecter of fate, and this is ultimately a family decision. I think everybody wants me to run, but we're going to have discussions about that." The question of how old is too old has dogged Biden. Polls have found even Democrats express doubts about whether he's too old for the job. an 84-year-old presidential candidate. And was
yeah, it? But so here's what we have to do with this. Because yeah. I don't think it's right for presidents or airline pilots or Tom Brady. Mm. It's not what's your chronological whatever. It is we need a punt, pass, and kick competition. Can sure. you can you produce?
Sure.
So
if you can, you can.
If you can, you can. I don't know how old Alan Dershowitz is. Alan Dershowitz may be 86 years old. You see him on those shows. He is rat-a-tat fucking tat. Like, boom, boom, boom. He's citing precedent. He's talking about Supreme Court from 1962 at the Brandon.
He's 84.
Whatever. He can be president at 84.
No.
Mentally. It's there. And then there's many who aren't there.
Yeah.
And it does get worse with age, but it's not really about how old. It's who are we talking about at
job?
This
I don't
age. Know. Norman Lear is 100 years old. When Norman Lear was 84, he was on sitcom sets,
true. You know,
punching up scripts
true.
And yelling at PAs. Like Norman Lear could do it at 84. Alan Dershowitz could do it at 84.
Yeah.
Biden can't. But I don't know that we need a number. We need a test.
Right.
I think, well, okay, I'll go with a test. But I think there should be a number, especially with the president, because who do you relate to? You know, if you're 80 years old today, right, we have half our population grew up with cell phones, grew up with the internet. You don't relate to that because it's not your
era.
World. It's
yeah.
not your era. So, and the other thing is you look at, like what you said, there are certain jobs where, yeah, you got to pack it in. Like, listen, we love you, but, you know, if you're an airline pilot, there are no 80-year-old airline pilots. It's like, yeah, you're a great flyer, but you know what? Your sight has deteriorated. Your fit. Now, you're right. There are some exceptions to the rule, a Dershowitz, a Brady, a this or that. But from what I've seen in politicians, I'm not going with any of them being like, man, you are an outstanding. You know, listen, I appreciate the service. I met John McCain in Iraq. You know, and it was like, man, I appreciate your service, but he was an old man. He was still a senator, but he was a little old man. And it was like, let it go, man. You've done your part. Let the next generation get a job. Our whole government is all these people in their late 70s and 80s. It's like, come on, man, let the next generation, like, you know, I'm 60, and if I walk in there, they're like, look, he's spry. Look at the young guy. You know, I don't want to be in any room where they call me, hey, Sonny.
Hey. They might go with boy, unfortunately. But,
well, yeah, because they, you know.
They're old school.
Right. They're from a time where they could get away with that. We don't need that. I think there should be. And I think that's what's going to happen with Biden. I don't think Biden runs again. I don't know who's going to replace him.
Well,
but because then you're looking at what him being 86 when he would leave.
And that's the thing, like, especially I think for both parties, young conservatives, young progressives, but I think especially young progressives don't want an 85-year-old man in office. That's kind of flies in the face of being a young progressive. You know, you want the new blood.
I'm with you. When I see we have, I don't know, is it Dianne Feinstein out here or.
Yeah, and nobody even knows how old is Dianne Feinstein.
Oh, boy.
She doesn't
nobody
know. Knows. Nobody knows, and reports are she's not coherent.
Oh.
Right,
so,
that her staff does the whole. That was the same thing with
she's,
McCain.
She's 89.
She's 89, and people are like, no one's heard from her for 3 years, and evidently she's having issues communicating.
And wasn't Strom like, Thurmond like 100 or
Strom
something?
Strom Thurmond was 4,000 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Pelosi, they're like congratulating Pelosi for stepping down at 80 years old.
Yeah.
It's like
spring chicken.
Yeah, look at you.
No, I completely agree, but I will still say if you can pass the punt, pass, and kick competition, then fine. I'll say the same with the airline pilot. If your vision is good, if your reflexes are fast, if you can snatch the pebbles from my hand, grasshopper, you can fly. But we're going to test you every year.
I've said the same thing, and I've gotten a lot of shit for this about a driver's test for when you're whatever, 75. People I love in my life would have to take it. Understood. I'd have to take it, God willing. I live that long. Understood. Don't you think there should be another driver's test at a certain age?
There is.
Are you sure?
Yeah. In California.
I say nobody in my family's taking it. Is
Chris
in California?
Can look it up. But in California, I think once you get to a certain age, you have to renew every couple years
with
or
a driving
something.
Test.
Well, whatever it is they need you to do, they need you to do it more frequently right. than when you're 17.
Probably the eye chart.
Yeah, there's something okay. there's something
here's,
there.
Here's another question I have that I don't understand. Wouldn't you want to retire?
Yeah,
you know it'd be nice.
You're 80 years old, right? You, these politicians, now you've been ripping off the system for the last 50 years. They show they all have millions of dollars stashed away somewhere. They got the big house, the this and that. At some point, wouldn't you be like, you know what? I don't want to go to work today. I want to retire and enjoy this. Like there's, to me, there's nothing worse than you're so you work so much that a month after you retire, you die because you have no life left. You know what I mean? Like I joke, comedians don't retire, but we cut back. You know what I mean? Like when Rickles was 86, Rickles wasn't at the Improv three times a month.
Right.
You know, you pick your back. Enjoy yourself. You won. At some point, I think I hope to be able to say, hey, man, I won. Like I'm cool. I'm going to go out and do some benefits. I'm going to go down to Florida and work the retirement circuit here and there, and then I'm going to play with my dog, man. Just kick back, you know. Just
I know I'm with you, but I guess when you're the president, you have a life, you know, versus working at the postal sorting center in Arleta, California. You know, you get used to a certain lifestyle,
sure.
And I could see that one being hard to give up.
Yeah,
but you know what? When you're the president, once you've made it, you don't give it up.
Yeah, like you get that shit for the rest of your life.
No, the rest of your life, you get private planes.
The Obamas are richer and bigger celebrities, and the Obamas did it right. They got out young, and now it's $65 million advances and toast of the town.
Or you're like Jimmy Carter, where like, yeah, I'm not going to die, so I'm just going to enjoy this forever. Like he's another one. Jimmy Carter's been building houses for humanity for what, 40 years now or something like that.
Probably
like,
well, since the 70s, so at least.
Yeah,
yeah, and I always feel bad for Jimmy Carter because he gets lumped in. So whenever people are complaining about Biden, they go, Biden, look at him. He's a train wreck. He's a cognitive mess. He's running this country off a cliff. Not since Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's got to be sitting home watching TV going, how did I get lumped into this? I've been out since 1970 fucking six or 80. I guess he got out. He's been out for 45 years, and he's like, and there's got to be a part of him that's going, yeah, fucking Biden. Yeah, he's the worst. He's the worst. He's the worst. That's right. He's got the crown of the worst. Right. And then someone goes, not since Carter. Carter's probably sitting there with Rosalind, and they're just – Carter's never going to die. He's going to shrink until there's nothing left. He looks like a ventriloquist puppet now.
98.
There's an insane picture, I think, Chris, with him and Biden and Jill Biden and Rosalind, and it looks like – ventriloquism is taking place on the porch of a house.
And they said it was like the angle of the picture. It's like, no, that's a tiny man. That's a little tiny man.
Yeah, there's no angle that can make Alonzo Bowden look like he was 3 foot nothing, right? It's a crazed picture. Have you ever seen the picture? I think Biden, Joe and Jill went to visit Rosalind and Jimmy. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Now, what are you seeing in this picture? Now,
well,
we should all hope to make it to 98.
Well, the unfortunate part is the way is not really the Carters, it's the Bidens. So the Carters are each sitting on a separate chair, just kind of, you know, God love them, but like shrunken down into the cushy chair. Jill and Joe are flanking them on either side on their knee like you would sit a ventriloquist on your knee.
Yes.
And so I do see how people could come to that conclusion that they're being operated by the Bidens.
No, I made that up. But, well, but the point is it's a crazed picture.
I get it. It's there. Maybe there's a little optical illusion, but there's just some poor choices in general.
Yes.
Right, especially with poor Rosalind.
I know.
Okay.
She was miniature.
Well, let's get back to everybody's favorite thing that the president does, because there's really nothing going on in the world. So it's always a great time to pardon some turkeys. We do that just in time for Thanksgiving. They always do it. This is Chocolate and Chip. And they'll live out their days at North Carolina State University, where Biden explained they have one of the best poultry science departments in the country. Let's take another look at Biden's official pardon.
First of all, the votes are in. They've been counted and verified. There's no ballot stuffing. There's no foul play. The only red wave this season is going to be a German Shepherd commander knocks over the cranberry sauce on our table.
Big applause.
Mm-hmm.
They are big turkeys, aren't they? My fellow Americans, please welcome the 2022 National Thanksgiving Turkeys, Chocolate and Chip.
Do we have...
Wait, now it goes full Biden.
I tell you what, man.
Tell you what, man. Dear, Corn Pop is here right now. Take care of that chocolate chip right now, man.
I tell you what, man.
I know this is a tradition. I feel like there's got to be at least $250,000 worth of taxpayer money. Like every time you step out on the lawn and security and God knows what you have to do with the perimeter.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah.
Get the turkeys in.
Would we do this during wartime? For instance.
Well, did we? Let's see.
I bet we did.
Yeah.
What year did this start,
Desert
Chris?
Storm?
And, yeah, well, I'm thinking a little more World War II.
Oh, okay.
Maybe some Vietnam. Like, did we ever scrub it? Like, 9/11 wasn't too far away from Thanksgiving.
True.
Like, was it ever inappropriate? Was it ever not a good use of the president's time?
It's sort of too flippant for the time.
Yes.
Given the climate. That's a good question.
I'm betting no. I bet we never skipped it.
What year do you think this started?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Well, let's see. Could we see Kennedy doing this? Could we see Nixon doing this? So let's say it started in mid-60s. 1964.
Yeah. Could be 60s.
Yeah, it doesn't feel 40s. It feels good vibes, 60s. So you'd think later 60s. So
I'd love to see Nixon doing this.
I could see Kennedy doing early 60s. Kennedy.
Johnson, maybe.
He'd be the guy who did that, and then everybody was like, "Ah, that's nice."
Truman was the first in 1947. Right after World War One. After World War Two, they began it, which makes sense. These are good times.
Yeah,
time to celebrate as a nation.
A chicken in every pot.
And did they ever miss a year because of Korea, Vietnam, 9/11? Trying to think of what other possible tragedies that befell our country. And again, all wars are abroad for us, but
even though Truman was the first one to do it, first guy to do it, it wasn't a tradition every year since then.
Oh.
So like Reagan did it in three of his years. Clinton did it. 7 times. He didn't do it in 95 for some reason.
So no Bushes pardoned turkeys? Mm-hmm.
George W. Bush definitely pardoned some turkeys. Yeah, he did it every year. Yeah. And then, after George W. Bush, everyone's been doing it every year.
I remember when Obama pardoned macaroni and cheese. Yeah.
I was going to say, so under random facts, I just read that there's a wild turkeys in New England are like everywhere.
And like terrorizing people, right?
Yeah, they've taken, turkeys are mean. Yeah. Like my brother, they were up on Martha's Vineyard, and there were turkeys in the yard. And then he brought his dog, and his dog had, it was like a lab. It had never seen turkeys, and it took off. He said, we haven't had a turkey problem since the dog showed up. Like the turkeys got saved. Yes, avoid that house. But, they're aggressive birds. They're aggressive birds.
All birds.
We just talked about this.
Birds that weigh 6 ounces are aggressive. Birds that weigh 40 pounds are just that. They're just aggressive, but they're bigger. There was a turkey, Chris. I don't know if we ever looked up this story. You can look it up. On Ventura Boulevard in Studio City, there was a little store that was by the river, by the L.A. River. The Wash, as it goes down there, from my childhood, that sold pottery back there. And they had a guard turkey.
What?
Had a guard turkey. And if you walked up on that place, that turkey would shoo you away. Remember walking up on it a few times when I was a kid and just kind of wanting to check it out. But the turkey was mean. The turkey would go after anybody that walked onto the property. And it was ostensibly a guard turkey.
Wow.
George W. Bush made it a tradition. I would have assumed it was a tradition before that.
I could see him being into it.
Actually, so sorry. The the Truman fact, he was presented a turkey, but he was incorrectly credited for pardoning it officially. The first one on record to pardon it was Reagan.
All right.
You think George W. Bush had to stop Cheney from killing the turkey? like oh, that was the
he heard the pump of the shotgun behind him.
Let's talk Banksy. So street artist Banksy is calling on people to specifically shoplift at Guess clothing stores in London. And he has a reason. The performance artist has accused the store of stealing his work without his permission. So he's calling on people to do the same to them. And we have a picture he wrote in his Instagram post. Attention all shoplifters. Please go to the Guess on Regent Street. They've helped themselves to my artwork without asking. How can it be wrong for you to do the same to their clothes? Banksy claims that Guess has been featuring his designs on their clothes. A company spokesperson doesn't deny lifting the artist's work, but says it's a way for fashion to show its gratitude to the artist. Smooth spin.
But there's laws.
I would think. But is it... Is there a difference when you can't pin down who the artist is? Like, nobody knows who he is?
His agent knows who he is.
That's true.
If you wanted,
he's not Batman.
Right. If you wanted something Banksy, because you can buy the art,
right?
So there's somebody who's connected. No, this is one of those things where Guess, it's like you picked the wrong guy to piss off.
Yes.
Like, because the world loves this guy.
Mm-hmm.
The world loves Banksy. Mm-hmm. And if Banksy says, yeah, rob this specific store, they're probably empty right now. They probably have nothing left.
Yeah.
You know?
People these days don't even need a prompt. They just do it anyway. Yeah, so, yeah.
But he's loved. People you don't cross. You don't want Banksy mad at you.
Is there a difference between copywriting of a Monet painting and like street art? Like if you're already... You've already made the concession. This is for the people.
That's probably the loophole.
This is art for the people.
On a public wall.
I'll put it up on barriers, on construction sites or something. Then does Guess get to go, oh, that's public domain.
Yeah, why do I have to license
it? Made a painting and sold it for $1 million.
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah,
obviously, he doesn't have a legal angle here. Banksy, I don't think.
Or he would have sued them.
Right.
But if that's the case, if it's like you said, okay, I painted it on the wall, it's public domain, then if you put it on a t-shirt, like he says, okay, now the t-shirt's public domain. Like if it's public for you to take it, then
why
it's
are you
public
charging
for your store to some, you know, shopper to walk in your store and take it. Like you can't claim it as that's like claiming like what did LeBron try to license Taco Tuesday?
Yes, Taco Tuesday.
And they were like no, like nobody's licensed it, but nobody can license, you know.
Right.
So I think if Banksy paints something on the wall, you could take a picture of it and you might put it on your own t-shirt.
What about
mass produce it?
What about Che Guevara? Like who pops up on all the college kids t-shirts? It's the Guevara family licensing
I think once it's been done, I mean, I don't know the laws, but there's a certain amount of time you can own something and then it becomes public domain.
Oh, interesting.
Well, that's what they...
Or like the
songs
the
are
smile,
that way.
Right? Yeah, music, it's life plus 100.
Yeah.
But that's why Happy Birthday can now finally be played.
Right.
Or that's, you know, the smile, have a nice day.
Oh, the circle.
Like, nobody. I don't think anyone owns that. I think that's...
Yeah, I never thought about it.
Somebody drew it in the 60s or whatever, and then
Forrest Gump does if you saw the movie.
That's right. That's true.
All right. So Banksy
happens.
Suggesting, and then what if people show up and like somebody gets hurt or breaks some glass and gets cut? Is that on Banksy? Anyway.
I think we'll probably find out sooner than later. So this crypto,
10 minutes ago, Banksy had that painting go at auction
that was my favorite.
Then shredded itself.
It was the best. Somebody had on his behalf a remote, and the portrait itself, nobody knew, was a paper shredder. And the second that gavel went down, the thing starts shredding. People start losing their fucking minds.
And then it was worth more.
Yes. Yep.
That was crazy.
Yes.
Now it's worth more.
And I think the funny thing was, I mean, they're lucky, whoever bought it, that it stopped halfway, because I think the story was Banksy was like, I wanted the whole thing shredded. So now they still have this artifact.
You know, because we're all paying for the story.
Right.
So it's like Aaron Judge's 62nd or 63rd home run ball to set the record for the Yankees. The guy turned down $3 million for it. But if his home run ball struck and killed a nun, it would be worth another $5 million because it just be, it's more story. Yeah. There's more story to tell.
Would you give that ball back?
No, I don't think I would.
That's exhibit A.
What I've suggested on this show, and Alonzo, you tell me whether you go along with this or not. You know, the ball leaves the ballpark. I like the tradition of the fans get it. Now, the fans, some ballparks throw it back. Other ballparks, they'll trade it in for some swag. It's always funny when the guy turned down $3 million, but Yankees were going to give him two Loge Deck tickets and a jersey signed by Aaron Judge and a program from right. that night. Like, all right, that's $421, but we're $3 million here. Yeah. We're the value here. But there's also part of me that understands that maybe Aaron Judge would like that ball, and maybe the Baseball Hall of Fame would like that ball. I would like to live in a world where if Aaron Judge, who's a multimillionaire, would like that ball, he can make a fair offer for it, like when the city goes, we need your land to build a freeway off ramp. They can't take it,
right.
but they have to go. We have to give you a fair market offer for it, but you have to accept it. I will live in a world where that guy who gets the ball, where they consult a few sports paraphernalia or I don't know if you call it sports memorabilia.
Memorabilia.
Guys, and they go, it's worth between 2.7 and 3.2, and they go, fine, call it $3 million. And then Aaron, if you want it,
first refusal,
you got a check for $3 million to give this guy. But if you don't, that's fine. He'll keep it.
Yeah,
I think I get what you're saying, and he could definitely afford that. I think it would depend what you said. Is he a nice guy? Like if you meet Aaron Judge, like you got the ball, and he's just a really nice guy, and he wants the ball for his, you know, collection so he can show his grandkids or something, then I'm like, here, man, take the ball. But if it's a business or it's something like that, it's like, yeah, I give it back. And I don't know if I'm in this situation. I heard somebody say, listen, you didn't lose $3 million because you didn't have $3 million to begin with. So just looking at it now, it's like Aaron Judge, I give the ball. Barry Bonds, nope.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, Aaron nope. appears to be a real nice guy by all that I've seen in terms of interviews and stuff like that. Also, Aaron Judge owns high def footage of him hitting that home run.
Oh yeah, I get what you're saying. And who knows? He might just say, like, you give him the ball, and then he might just say, you know what? Here's $2 million because I'm about to make $400 million. So
for your troubles,
yeah. The guy who got the ball is a millionaire.
Right.
That's the rub too.
Oh he's like a finance guy.
We hope it's the poor inner city kid who's going to use it to turn his life around.
Guy, no, he's fine.
If he's a finance guy, you take the ball from him. You're like, you know what? New rule. You can't have the ball.
He's got.
If he's a Wall Street guy, no one likes you.
Well, here's how you know. I haven't checked the guy's tax returns, but here's how I know he has money. He turned down $3 million.
Yeah.
So he went to the game.
He
drank a few beers. He ate a dog, walked away with a ball. And somebody said, I'll give you $3 million. And when you are a carpenter or roofer or plumber and someone offers you $3 million for a baseball that you've just plucked up 2.5 months ago,
it's a miracle.
You take that money.
Yeah, that's true.
The fact that he said no.
You look at your son and you're like, well, you're just going to have to cry for a little while.
That's right.
Right.
It's so funny you said that. Just reminded me, we watched this docuseries on Netflix called Pepsi, Where's My Jet? Mm-hmm. Do you remember this was in the mid-90s where they were doing like points on Pepsi bottles? And if you got a certain amount of points, you could get a leather jacket or get whatever. And at the end of the commercial, it says for 7 million points, you get this Harrier jet. And one guy took
it
seriously.
You get a ride in a Harrier jet.
No, it said if you could pull up the commercial, it said for 7 million points, you get a Harrier jet.
But and that's a military jet.
There was no fine print. There was nothing. They said, it's obviously a joke. And the kid was like, the hell it is. Mm. So he got investors. He devised this plan to get 7 million points. Oh, see if this seems familiar.
All right.
From 1995.
I remember Marlboro Miles.
T-shirt, 75 Pepsi points. Leather jacket, 1,450 Pepsi points. Shades, 175 Pepsi points.
New Pepsi Stuff catalog.
That's the Harrier, Jack.
Now, the more Pepsi you drink, the more great stuff you're going to get.
Sure beats the boss.
Harrier Fighter, 7 million Pepsi points. It says, drink Pepsi, get stuff. So it was a four-part documentary on the guy who was like, I'm going for it. And then the legal just debacle that came from Pepsi being like, we thought everyone knew it was a joke. And so the reason I thought of it is because they offered him a considerable amount of money, a lot of money. And he was like, I want the Harrier jet. And it just went on and on and on.
Well, the Harrier jet's worth millions
they
and millions
can't
of dollars.
Give him a Harrier jet. Yeah, so, exactly.
So his name's John Leonard. He realized that if he obtained 15 points and then paid for the rest of the points with a check, then the jet would be cheaper than what it would cost to buy.
Yeah, you could he found in the fine print, like you could 10 cents would buy you 1 point. Mm-hmm. And so you could just write a check for, I think it was $700,000 or whatever. They sent it back and then it started this shit storm. And it rewrote
statute.
Laws.
It's
really interesting.
On a sadder, more pedestrian note, I would feel the same way watching The Price is Right. When I was a kid, I would sit home and watch Price is Right, 13-inch black and white Zenith. We'd have a pot to piss in. And
you didn't have a handle.
You know, you go, you want to be what's behind curtain number one, curtain number two, curtain number three. And they'd always go, one of them's got the vacation to Puerto Vallarta and it's all expenses paid and whatever. And they go, and then they go, curtain number two. And Jay would be riding a donkey.
Yeah.
Or sometimes Jay would be in a steamroller, right, and they'd go, bum, bum. Yeah. Well, it was curtain number one that had the Puerto Vallarta vacation. But I was so poor and so desperate, I was like, but the steamroller, like that donkey, that donkey's got to be worth $600. Like, what do you sell a donkey? Well, that is your donkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you do get the donkey, right?
Pepsi should have said something.
Well,
like,
I'm Harrier jetting you here. I picked what was behind door number two,
and
door
number two had a donkey. And I'm riding out of here on my donkey.
And I get to fuck Jay.
Yes.
Because I get the donkey
and whoever's riding
it.
They say, all right, you can have the Harrier jet. You got 24 hours to fly it out of here.
Oh, yeah, that would be good,
you
know, too.
You didn't fly it out. Well, guess it's ours yet.
Because his whole plan was, I'm going to take it to conventions and state fairs, and this is going to be my moneymaker. He had a whole plan. It was actually a really interesting little doc.
Yeah. Remember when Schwarzenegger tried to fly the Harrier jet in
True Lies?
True Lies.
True Lies.
Yeah, True Lies. That's what it would look like. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm only bringing this up because you guys may have met him, know him personally. I just want to give a little update because I hadn't thought about him in a while. It's been a long time since we've heard from Sinbad. He had a devastating stroke 2 years ago.
Oh.
And this made me think this is one of those things that happened during COVID, so we kind of all missed it.
Yeah.
He's provided an update on his recovery, and we're looking at a picture. It's really tough. 66-year-old went on Instagram and shared this link to a website where he's chronicling his recovery. He suffered an ischemic stroke in October 2020 that was a result of a blood clot that traveled from his heart to his brain, nearly died, was hospitalized for 9 months. Since then, he's been going through intense therapy. They say he's already beaten the odds, made significant progress. He's learning to walk again right now. He says he's not going to stop fighting until he can walk across the stage again. It really, really hit him hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not hear about this.
He had two. Yeah. I've met him and I know people, but what happened was he had the stroke. The blood clot went from his heart to his brain. They did the surgery and the next day it happened again.
Stop.
Another blood clot went to his brain.
Oh,
and it was
God.
When they did the second surgery that they said, well, the doctors said they didn't think he was going to make it. And he was like in the induced coma for weeks. And this
it's been
2 years.
Yeah.
And everybody was happy to see this, just to see him standing up because he was in bed. I mean, he couldn't talk for a long time. And, it's been really tough.
Mm.
And, I read the story and saw the post. It's heartbreaking. You know, this is the ultimate in bad things happening to good people. Sinbad was just a sweetheart, hilarious, nice guy, and
I've only heard good things about him.
I mean, just floor, and he wasn't unhealthy or anything. You know what I mean? It was just one of those random things that happens to people. Yeah, it's
tragic. You got to zoom in on his two tattoos so we can figure out who they are. I know one of them is Marc Maron. I can't figure out who the one on his left arm is. He has two tattoos, and I'm trying to think of if we can read who those two. No cheating, Gina.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to find. Oh, okay.
No, we got to go in. So
okay.
Khrushchev or Stalin?
No,
I think it's Malcolm X.
That's what I was going to say.
Is that Malcolm X?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Facial hair looks weird.
Stalin.
I don't know.
I'm okay. Sure it's not
well,
Stalin.
Tyson has Mao on his... Tyson have?
Yeah, he's got Mao.
Mao's done a lot of killing.
Okay.
Yeah, but you don't ask Mike Tyson about his tattoos. If Mike Tyson got a tattoo, it's okay.
It's okay.
And yeah, I'm going with Malcolm X.
The other arm is one of the Pointer Sisters?
Probably, yeah.
Let me see. We got Malcolm X on one forearm, and then we got to dig into the other.
Martin Luther King.
That fits.
All right.
Pointer Sisters and Stalin.
That fits that he would have.
It was a million miles away.
Adam, I got to get you to walk through a black neighborhood.
I got to get you to walk.
I do the
right
perimeter.
Now, you got to walk through the middle. I got to... I love you, Adam, but
that was a long distance. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I'm going to be at the Rialto Theater in Tucson doing stand-up December 15th, and then 16th and 17th I'll be at the Tempe Improv.
We'll all be there.
Alonzo Bowden is going to be at the Arlington Draft House. That'll be Friday and Saturday. That's this Friday and Saturday coming up in Arlington, Virginia. And then Texas is going to be at the Majestic Theater December 2nd, Burbank. Nightcap Comedy Club. Where is that in Burbank?
It's on Burbank. No, it's on Magnolia.
Oh, yeah. Is that new?
Oh.
No, so it was an outdoor venue during the pandemic, and now they have a little theater.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to be at Nightcap December 9th.
And you can go to lonzobowden.com. Very funny stand-up. Go to lonzobowden.com for all the live dates and the podcast. Who's paying attention as well? So, till next time, it's Adam Carolla for Vinny Tortorich and Alonzo Bowden. Oh, Che Guevara on his rib cage Tyson has. Sorry.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. Saying, mahalo.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book. Everything reminds me of something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.